Translation: Vidura said, O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu, the Lord, wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge with which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The servants of the Lord are actually the servants of society. They have no interest in human society other than to enlighten it in transcendental knowledge. They are interested in imparting knowledge of the relationship of the living being with the Supreme Lord, the activities in that transcendental relationship, and the ultimate goal of human life. That is the real knowledge which can help society achieve the real aim of human welfare. Knowledge in the matter of the bodily necessities of eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, transformed into various branches of advancement of knowledge, is all temporary. A living being is not the material body, but an eternal part and parcel of the Supreme Being, and thus revival of his self-knowledge is essential. Without this knowledge, the human life is baffled. The servants of the Lord, Vishnu, are entrusted with this responsible work, and so they wander all over the earth and to all other planets in the universe. Thus the knowledge which was received by Uddhava directly from the Lord deserves to be distributed in human society, especially to persons like Vidura, who are highly advanced in the devotional service of the Lord. Real transcendental knowledge descends in the disciplic succession from the Lord to Uddhava, from Uddhava to Vidura, and so on. Such supreme transcendental knowledge is not possible to achieve by the process of imperfect speculation as performed by the so-called learned mundane wranglers. Vidura was anxious to know from Uddhava that confidential knowledge known as Paramam Stittim, in which the Lord is known by his transcendental pastimes. Although Vidura was older than Uddhava, he was anxious to become a servant of Uddhava in the transcendental relationship. This formula of transcendental disciplic succession is taught by Lord Chaitanya also. Lord Chaitanya advises that one receive transcendental knowledge from anyone, whether a brahmana or a shudra, a householder or a sannyasi, provided that the person is factually conversant with the science of Krishna. A person who knows the science of Krishna is factually a bona fide spiritual master. Read the verse again. Jnanam param svatmaraha prakasham yadaha yogeshvara ishvaraste vaktum bhavanor hati yadi vishno britya svabrityata kritascharanti. Vidura said, O Uddhava, because the servants of Vishnu, the Lord, wander in the interest of serving others, it is quite fit that you kindly describe the self-knowledge with which you have been enlightened by the Lord Himself. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Trakshura Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I pray for all of your blessings. So senior devotees here, my senior god brothers, bless me so I can say something useful. Thank you. And everybody. So I thought that this verse was very similar to one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a very famous verse. Anybody else? Did it stand out to anybody else? That was part of the reason when we sung Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu also. Because the servants of Vishnu wander serving others, you should describe the self-knowledge that you've been enlightened in by the Lord. It reminded me a lot of Yade Deke Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amaraya Gyaya Guru Hanatara Edesh, where Lord Chaitanya says, preach everywhere, go everywhere, teach everybody about the science of Krishna. Whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. So Vidura is saying, you've heard about Krishna from Krishna himself. So tell us, you know, you're moving about, you're telling people about Krishna, so tell me also. And this is the primary duty of devotees, to share this wealth, to share this knowledge. Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport that Devotees have no interest in human society other than to enlighten it in transcendental knowledge. And I think we experience when we do that, then we get the highest taste, right? Life can be mundane, life can be difficult, can be boring. But as soon as we act on that platform, Amara Agyaya Guru Hayatara Edesh, become a guru. As soon as you just transmit that knowledge to others, you take that position of sharing Krishna consciousness. So tasty, so interesting. Krishna makes so many arrangements. The other day I went on book distribution by myself in Watford for a couple of hours. And I stopped this couple. It was pouring with rain. I stopped this couple and I said, "You look like a very intelligent man. I'm sure you read a lot. Would you like to take a book? I'm sure you're interested in reading." He said, "I'm quite interested in reading." I said, "I bet you can read anything. I bet you can even read minds, can't you? You're so intelligent." And he said, "Well, can you read minds?" And I said, "Well, sometimes I can guess people's names." And he said, "Okay, what's my name?" And I said, "Alfred." And he said, "Okay, I'll buy a book." And he went to the cash machine. So on book distribution, that happens so many times. He said, "How did you know my name is Alfred?" I just said it as a joke because I thought it's such a ridiculous name. He's never going to be called Alfred. He said, "Okay, I'll buy a book." He wasn't even really interested in the book. He said, "I'm going to buy a book because you guessed my name." So if you go out there and you try and serve Krishna and try and do something to please him, then life becomes very interesting and very tasty. My spiritual master was saying on one podcast the other day that wherever you go, just take a book. If you're going to the supermarket, if you're going to go shopping, whatever you're going to do, just take a book with you. And then if you take a book, you can give it to somebody and that can change somebody's life. I've been doing like different jobs recently, handyman jobs. And I wear tilak when I go. And they see I'm shaved up with the sikha. They all know I'm a Hare Krishna. And it's amazing how many people, even white English people here, there and everywhere in London, Hertfordshire, they know about Krishna. And they've heard about Krishna. I went into one man's place down here in Abbots Langley. And he's a very normal English gentleman. And then at the end, he said, are you a Krishna?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you know there's a temple just down the road, a big mansion? George Harrison donated it to us." He said, yeah, "I've been to Bumbidi-Dumpa Manor before. I've been there already. I've been there two or three times. Wonderful place. I spent all day there with my child one day." So it's just the average normal guy in England. He's come to Bhaktivinoda Manor and he's connected with the devotees. So if we can facilitate more people in doing that, then that's good for them and it's good for us also. So Prabhupada says here that knowledge in the matter of the bodily necessities of eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, transformed into various branches of advancement of knowledge, is all temporary. And that this is, without this, then life is baffled. And that this is only coming down through the disciplic succession. So we might think, yeah, we're a little group here. We might even think we're a little ragtag group of devotees in our little temple. And, you know, life is going on out there. You go out into the real world and there's so many, you know, cars, lorries, big offices, big organizations, so much money out there, so much money changing hands, so many big important things going on. You read the news, politicians, countries, war, so many big important things happening. But actually, it's all a joke. Actually, it has no meaning. Actually, all they're doing is misusing the resources that Krishna has given them. And if we actually realized how insidious it is, how detrimental it is, how destructive it is to the world, then we'd be so fired up in giving Krishna consciousness to people. Srila Prabhupada is saying that basically everything that everybody is doing, eating, meeting, sleeping, and defending, has no value. Because it has no value to the soul. And what are people doing? That's what they're doing. But they're not even doing it in a sattvic way. They're not even doing it in a sustainable way. They're doing it in a way that is destroying the world. Who needs cars? Who needs aeroplanes? For millions of years we've existed without these things. Now they invent these things to make some money. And it's destroying the world around us. And Srila Prabhupada is saying that to advance in knowledge, then it has to come down through disciplic succession. I'm not sure I can find exactly the place where he says it, but he talks about how material knowledge, yeah, here we go. Such supreme transcendental knowledge is not possible to achieve by the process of imperfect speculation as performed by the so-called learned mundane wranglers. Vidura was anxious to know from Uddhava that confidential knowledge known as Paramam Stittim, in which the Lord is known by his transcendental pastimes. So because they reject God, because they reject Krishna, and because they use their imperfect, speculative, empirical knowledge, it will always be doomed to failure. Mother Ermola gave a class long time ago, and she was speaking about the different types of knowledge, epistemology, how we receive knowledge from different sources. And she was explaining that when we have this empirical knowledge, this arohapanta, knowledge that comes up, that expands, that you develop, it's always imperfect. How can you come to the conclusion that whatever is the goal of life, or how can you come to any conclusion where you're gathering some data? You can't say that this is a fact, right? You could say, as far as we know, with the data that we've collected, this is the evidence that we have. But you can't say that it's a fact. It might not be like that in another country. It might not be that in another circumstance. It might not be like that on another planet. So all of the phantasmagoria, all of the exciting so-called advances of material life that we see, it's imperfect, and ultimately it's destructive as well. Very, very destructive. And the only way that we can actually benefit ourselves, the only way that we can really receive perfect knowledge, is through the disciplic succession, which is avarohapanta. So that's knowledge which is coming down. Krishna has that perfect knowledge of everything. Krishna is conscious of everything. As it says in the Bhagavatam first verse, Krishna is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. Who can understand the world except for Krishna? Nobody can. We can understand the world perfectly if we repeat what Krishna says, if we understand that statement, but only Krishna is conscious of all manifestations and understand perfectly how everything works. So why would we take knowledge from somebody else as opposed to taking it from Krishna? Prabhupada says that to different people when they say something that is, oh yeah, Prabhupada was saying it, that in terms of this material world, he says, if you try to enjoy in this world, you try to be happy in this world, you try to advance materially in this world, in whatever way it may be, family, money, house, whatever it is, and you think you can be happy, he says, then you're disagreeing with Krishna, because Krishna says, Dukalayam Ashashvatam, Anityam Asukam Lokam. He says, it's an unhappy world. You can't be happy in this world. So why try to be happy in this world when Krishna says that you can't? If you don't accept what Krishna says, then you're disagreeing with Krishna. And who are you to disagree with Krishna? So Krishna makes so many statements. And he humbly says in the Bhagavad Gita also, this is my opinion. Krishna gives the absolute truth to Arjuna and says, this is my opinion. Very humble. He also quotes different sages. Says, this is the opinion of different sages. Doesn't matter to Krishna if it's the opinion of different sages. He is the origin of all of the sages, the origin of all of the demigods, the origin of the Manus. But he very humbly says that. So the only way to achieve success is to follow the Vedic scriptures. And we shouldn't be enamored or attracted by material knowledge if it's not in line with the Vedic teachings. Of course, we're using everything in Krishna's service. We have to. We're trapped in so many systems in this society that you can't just step out of. But we can use these things in Krishna's service. But we should understand that in the spiritual world, there is no London Underground. There is no Apple Mac. There is no taxis. There is none of this. Kadamakanana Swami was saying that we use laptops, so in the future, we won't have to use any laptops anymore. Krishna doesn't use any of this demoniac technology in the spiritual world. And he says to Arjuna, when they were going to burn the Khandava forest to feed Agni, Maya the demon, right? Maya Danava. He came out of the forest and he said to Arjuna, you know, save me, I surrender to you. Arjuna was going to kill him, he's a demon. He said, and Arjuna said, okay, I'll give you shelter because you surrendered to me. That's the culture. And he says, okay, in return, I'd like to give you a gift. I'll give you this yantra vidya, which is technology, the knowledge of technology. And Krishna said to Arjuna, he said, don't take it. He said, this knowledge will destroy everything. So we see this technology, it's insidious and it's very dangerous. It's unneeded, and people are totally enamored by it. And the whole illusion that society is advancing, humans are advanced, humans are developing, we're like the peak of evolution, is so much based on this technology that, yeah, this is the proof, right? We did this, they couldn't have done that before. We have hospitals now. Now we can gather all of the sick people in one place so they can make each other sick. We don't need to treat them all separately in their houses. We can gather them all together, and we can charge people a lot of money to do that. We can fly through the sky. Yesterday I was doing some work, and I just saw this plane in the sky. It was like, I don't know how many miles away. It's just like, I thought, do I really go on a plane sometimes? Like a rocket going up into the sky. It's like, it's such a risky thing to do. Shushiradago kulananda ki jai. So our faith, or people's faith, in society and in advancement of society and in scientists who are like the leaders of society is so much based on these little technological things that they've created, but actually they're very detrimental to us. So Srila Prabhupada says here also in the purport that devotees wander over the earth and to all other planets in the universe, which is interesting. I don't know exactly why he said that. We know that Narada Muni is traveling around. He's going to different planets in the universe. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, after this birth, was it Prabhupada who mentioned? I think it was Prabhupada. He said that he went to the moon next to preach Krishna consciousness. No, I think it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who said it. He said they've become very degraded on the moon, and that's the next place I'm going to go and spread Krishna consciousness. So this is the duty of the devotees, to cut through that illusion that people are in, that life can be happy and that we are advancing in material life. We have to cut through that illusion and give them knowledge of Krishna. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kaviriditam kaumashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam buvigrinantiye burida janaha. And the gopis say, this is from the 10th canto, that those people who spread this knowledge are the most merciful. Burida janaha. We saw this nice play, was it on Gopanim? When Prataparuj Maharaj was trying to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And eventually he disguised himself as a humble Vaishnava. And during Rathayatra, what are the gardens that he... Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. It's like halfway down the Rathayatra route, right? Okay, so they're there. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting. Maharaj Prataparudra came and he was singing this Gopi Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in ecstasy hearing this Gopi Gita, didn't realize that Maharaj Prataparudra was the king. And he said this verse to him, Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam. This katamritam, this nectar of your activities, of your qualities, of your names, of your pastimes, is what gives life to the suffering souls of this world. It's all auspicious, and those who spread this message of yours are the most munificent. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Prataparuj Maharaj, you're the most munificent. You're spreading this message to me. You're giving me this knowledge. You're reminding me of Krishna, the Supreme Person. I'm so indebted to you. I'm so happy. I'm your servant. In this way, Prataparuj Maharaj got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that rift was broken. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to connect to him because he was a king. But then he managed to connect to him in that way. By doing what? Just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam to him, right? So powerful. Prataparuj Maharaj. He also did other service. He was humbly sweeping in front of the Rathayatra cart. And he was very determined. And he took risks to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you ask me to meet Prataparuj Maharaj again, I'll leave this place and I won't come back. And Prataparuj Maharaj didn't give up. He found a way to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And ultimately, how was it? It was by reciting the Bhagavatam to him. So if we also follow in his footsteps, we recite the Bhagavatam, or we give the Bhagavatam to people, then we can also get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here it says, another point that Srila Prabhupada says is that the knowledge that was received by Uddhava directly from the Lord deserves to be distributed to human society, especially to persons like Vidura, who were highly advanced in the devotional service to the Lord. So why do you think he says especially to Vidura? Any ideas? What's the question? He says, this knowledge deserves to be distributed to human society, especially to persons like Vidura. Yeah, that's an interesting point. They're able to distribute it further and make disciples. Have you been praying? So he'll speak further, huh? Yes, Govinda Prabhu?
Vidura is very qualified, so he deserves it more.
So he's what?
He deserves it more, he's very qualified.
Yeah, I was thinking more along those lines, so these points are very beautiful. That he's more receptive, he's qualified to understand it. So we know this verse, which I'm just forgetting, that you must know it, Govinda. How does it go? I know. Amveti. Naveti va. So was it? And who's speaking it? Shiva is saying, I understand Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami understands Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadev may or may not understand Srimad Bhagavatam. When I was a brahmacharya, I thought it was a very strange verse, very interesting verse. I don't understand that at all. I went to Karamakandana Maharaj and I said, Maharaj, can you explain that verse to me? And he said, yes, one day, on a rainy day, when we have time, we'll sit down and I'll explain that verse to you. Unfortunately, that day never came. Maybe one day, rainy day in the spiritual world. But the point is that the person who speaks transcendental knowledge, they have a particular level of realization. But the person who hears transcendental knowledge, they may have a higher realization than the person who is speaking it. But because they're passing that knowledge on, then that knowledge is still active, it's still potent, it's still relishable. So I'm speaking on Bhagavatam now, despite my fallen condition. And because I'm trying to repeat what's in the purport and trying to present that according to my understanding, you will all hear something, but your understanding of it may be much deeper than mine. Just as there's different instances in Chaitanya Leela, how people would hear from Mayavadis, they would mention about Krishna, and that person would go into ecstasy, and they would start rolling on the ground. The Mayavadi had no understanding of Krishna, but because he was speaking on Bhagavatam, then that power was still there when the person heard. So Prabhupada is saying, especially people like Vidura, who are highly advanced, they're especially qualified to hear Krishna Katha because they're going to appreciate it. They're going to absorb it. It's going to nourish them. Just like we hear the rain, right? It rains on the ocean. What's the point of it raining on the ocean? It's already wet. Rains on some building. What's the point of that? It's just going to get moldy like every single building in the UK. If it rains on the field and it's so beneficial, then so many crops can grow. It's so beneficial to society. So the field is taking that water in. It's using it to its full potential. The building is not. When we give Krishna consciousness to somebody, it's actually an offense to the holy name to give knowledge to people who will misunderstand it. So Krishna Katha is especially beneficial for those who are advanced. And so what would the natural conclusion be? So we have to become qualified, we have to become advanced, we have to understand the potency of Krishna's pastimes, we have to understand who Krishna is, and then when we hear Krishna Katha, then we'll get so much more benefit. It's also explained that there's different types of Krishna Katha, there's also different types of Krishna's holy names, and you get different levels of benefit for those different from those different names or from those different pastimes as well. So we know that the name of Ram, when you chant it, how many times? Three times? Three times is equal to one name of Vishnu, right? A thousand times is equal to one name of Vishnu. And then a thousand Vishnus is equal to one Krishna. Say it again.
A
And three realms are one Krishna. Anyway, some controversy. But also, that's interesting. If Vishnu's name is less potent than Krishna's name, how can it be equal when it's just repeated a certain amount of times? Anyway, the potency is higher in Krishna's names and in Krishna's confidential names like Govinda, Gopal, Shyamasundar, and similarly in Krishna's pastimes. We get a certain amount of benefit for hearing Krishna's pastimes, his leelas, his different incarnations, a certain level of hearing his pastimes in Mathura. But the most benefit, the most power that is given to the hearer of Krishna's pastimes is Krishna's confidential pastimes in Vrindavan. They give the most benefit. So the more benefit you get, the more qualified you are, and also depending upon what pastimes you hear. But you also have to be qualified to hear those pastimes, so you have to also listen according to your qualification. Okay, so here it's also mentioned that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Lord Chaitanya advises that one receives transcendental knowledge from anyone, whether a brahmana or a shudra, a householder or a sannyasi, provided that the person is factually conversant with the science of Krishna. And a person who knows the science of Krishna is factually a bona fide spiritual master. Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra ke ne noi, ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that anybody, it doesn't matter whether you're a shudra, a vaishya, whether you're married or unmarried, you don't have to be a sannyasi to know the science of Krishna. And if you know the science of Krishna, then you're a guru. Rupa Goswami says if you can control all of your senses, then you can become a spiritual master of the entire world. And I was saying to somebody yesterday, what was I saying it to? One devotee, oh yeah, Jaya Lakshman Prabhu, that I believe Sanatan Goswami was saying to Haridas Thakur that because you practice Krishna consciousness and because you preach Krishna consciousness, then you are the spiritual master of the entire world. He says some people practice Krishna consciousness, but they don't preach it. Some people preach Krishna consciousness, but they don't practice it. But because you practice and you preach, then you are the spiritual master of the entire world. So if we know the science of Krishna consciousness, no matter what background we're from, no matter what ashram we're in, whatever varna we're in, as long as you know that science, it doesn't matter. So on Tuesday, it was Srivast Thakur's appearance day, and we mentioned the pastime of Gopal Chapal, who was a brahmana. He was a caste-conscious brahmana, although he was following Vedic culture in one sense very strictly. But he was very unhappy with Srivast Thakur because he was envious of Srivast Thakur, but also because Srivast Thakur was associating with Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. At that time, it was extremely strict, so they would not associate with one another. A Muslim would come and sprinkle some water on a Hindu, and they would lose their position in society. So rigid, so fragile, and so caste-conscious. So Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, but he's the Namacharya. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. So in that time, that was inconceivable, and the Brahmanas could not understand how can it be that Haridas Thakur was associating with Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, these different devotees. Why? Ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoi. Because he knew the science of Krishna, then he's qualified to do anything. Which is amazing, because if you see in this world, everything requires some qualification. If you want to get into a particular school, if you want to get a particular job, if you want to be in some kind of position, then it all requires some kind of something, and not just qualification usually. Usually there's some kind of societal links required. It's always better who you know than what you know, right, to get into these positions. But the highest thing, the highest perfection, to serve Krishna, to go back to Krishna, and not only that, to become a guru, to accept disciples, to teach people about Krishna, which is the highest position that there is, to represent Krishna, that's open to everybody, just as long as you're Krishna conscious. And we hear so many examples of that in the past also, like Mrigadi, His background, the background of so many others, Valmiki, they had a... Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. So we hear many examples in the past, people who were performing so many sinful activities that they became the speakers of the Ramayana, or they became great gurus, Jagai and Madai. So there's hope for all of us. If we just become absorbed in hearing about Krishna, we spend our time hearing about Krishna. Jai Lakshman Prabhu told me one nice pastime with him and Prabhupada yesterday while I was in his garden with him. And it happened here that Srila Prabhupada had been trying to go to somewhere in Africa. I think it was Nairobi, but I'm not sure. They'd gone to Nairobi and they hadn't let Srila Prabhupada in. And Prabhupada was really, really angry, and he'd come back to the UK. Srila Prabhupada was like fried, as we say. So he was walking around the tennis courts, where that car park is, used to be the tennis courts. He was walking when he was chanting japa. And Jai Lakshman Prabhu thought, oh, this is a perfect time to go to Srila Prabhupada and ask him what service I can do for him. Because he was there. And he went up to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was not really in the mood for talking. But he approached Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada just said, he looked straight at him and he said, Hari Nama, Hari Nama. That's what he said. So this is the essence of all instructions, that we chant the holy name of Krishna. We hear Krishna's pastime, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And if we do that, then it qualifies us for the highest perfection, but if we hear it in disciplic succession. And by hearing this, we also understand that we don't have faith in the other authorities in the world and the other illusions and phantasmagoria that is being presented to us. Okay, thank you for your attention. It's 8:30 now. Do we have any quick questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu? Do we have the mic?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Tarun Krishna Prabhu, for a nice lecture. I have a question and comments together. A short story about the war in Ukraine and my Guru Maharaj. So the war started, he was in Russia, and the war started and everyone in Ukraine was expecting him to blame Russia, and Russians didn't want what is happening. But basically Guru Maharaj, what he said, this is happening because we are not spreading Krishna consciousness more effectively. And what he did in 2022, he was traveling all around Russia, spreading Krishna consciousness, lectures, thousands of lectures. So in the same way, when we were talking, you were talking about this material civilization, why we are using airplane? Because we don't have vimans. Very simple. So here I have a question to you. How we can propose something, because we're here, we're already here, yeah? Yeah, that was our fault or our decision to be here. However, we are here, and we know that millions of living beings will be after us. We will come back here. So you see, Prabhupada create this system for us in every country, and potentially in every town and village will be small temple, big temple, and we have nice technology here, advancing technology. See, and this is the question: what do you think what is our responsibility now, or we shall just detach and say this is not the place of the happiness and read, or we just say, okay, this is not the place, but I will do something which will remain and will help this society to advance more.
Yeah, thank you, Puri. I think it's a good point. Like I said, we're so embroiled in society and systems, you can't just step out of it. I'm using a mic right here, I've got my telephone in front of me. But at the same time, I don't think we just use everything. Yeah, I've got to have the latest iPhone because, you know, then I can see Bhagavatam clearer on my phone or whatever. It's like, we do it, we can use it in Krishna's service, but we should understand it's demoniac. Krishna said, yantra vidya, we don't need it, it's totally unnecessary. supposed, you know, electric vehicles, oh, they're so ecological, right? Very ecological, made of metal and lithium and all of these things. It's like, it's such an illusion and it's so destructive. So I think, yeah, we use it to the minimum that we need to engage in Krishna's service. It's just Prabhupada used aeroplanes, printing presses and everything. But at the same time, we should be getting land. We should be living off the land. We should be growing our own food. We should be building our own buildings. And if you have that, you don't need anything else, right? What do you need? You have water, you have food, you have a building. You can grow your own cloth in Hungary. They're making their cloth now from the land. Why do you need an aeroplane for, you know? What do you need a factory for? You don't need it. You don't. If you can see in the spiritual world, how is Krishna living? Krishna doesn't have any of that stuff. They don't need anything. They don't need a car. They don't even need a rickshaw. You know, they're just living there. And they have bulls and the cows and they have the natural opulences. It's unnecessary. And we should understand that it is unnecessary. In Krishna Valley, when we're living there, you're getting water from the well. There's no running water. And it's hard work, but it just totally changes your consciousness. If there's not water flowing out of the wall through a tap, it just changes your consciousness so much. I can't even describe it. You're bringing it from the well, and you know, I'm only going to use that much water today, 40 liters today, because if I use more, I have to go back in the rain and get it out and bring it and carry it and bring it in. I know exactly how much water I'm using, you know. And when it's not pouring out, it's not pumped out, the beauty of water is so different. It's there. It's too difficult to describe, but it has a natural elegance, a natural dignity, a natural beauty. You're just like using a jug to bathe yourself. It's a totally different mood. It's so much more sattvic that we can't even comprehend being brought up in this society. So if we don't detach ourselves from this materialistic, demoniac civilization, which is headed for disaster, then we're just going to go down with all of them. If we don't create our own separate, independent ecosystem based on the land and based on community, then what's going to happen to us if we're not growing our own food? Intelligent, you know, billionaires around the world, what are they doing? They're buying land, they're buying water supplies. They're not giving their phones and their laptops to their children. That's a well-known fact. They're not doing that. They know what it does. We don't, you know. We think, oh, nice new phone. Very interesting. One devotee calls it Kali Yuga Apsaras. Telephones. Kali Yuga Apsaras. So we use it, but we know that it's a very dangerous thing. And at the same time, we need to live a life like Krishna is living and be on the land, be living off the land and developing that. Because it's tamasic and it's not sustainable because it's not in the mode of goodness. It's not connected to Krishna. So it's dangerous. Anything else? Prayojan Puru or Paramakaruna Puru?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, Param Stithim is translated as self-knowledge. And then in the purport, Prabhupada also gives different other meanings as well. Transcendental knowledge, relationship between the Lord and the living entity. And also if we take Param Stithim literally, it means supreme destination or supreme position. So which one is it, Param Stithim?
Seems like it can be any of those. It seems like it's flexible according to the realization of the person who's translating it. But that shouldn't be a problem. Like I think in the West we have this thing like black and white. It's this or it's that. But actually, it's not like that. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that it can mean that these various things, who am I to say anything else? It's flexible. He's saying about Atma, it can mean the body, the soul, the mind. I mean, they are very different things, right? The body, the soul, and the mind, that's a huge spectrum of topics or categories. So it can mean all of those things that Prabhupada said. Param, you know, param means higher, the supreme transcendental sthiti. I'm not familiar with that word, but it seems like it can mean any of those. So it can mean any of them, according to what the Acharya wants to be presenting. And that's why it's important for us to hear from the Acharyas. Because, what's that verse, Govinda? Mahajano yena katha sapanta. Yeah. So different rishis, they all have different opinions. How do you know? One rishi says this, one rishi says that. There's not a rishi if you can't argue with somebody else. Not a muni if you can't present a different argument, right? In politics, Labour has to say that what the Conservatives are doing is rubbish. Otherwise, they don't have a position. It's just so stupid. It's not based on anything. It's just like, oh, they're bad. And based on the fact that they're bad, then we're good. It's not that we have anything substantial, no truth or any values or any ethics. Just they're bad and they argue with each other. And we're supposed to be impressed by that. So rishis, they're the same. Like, he's wrong, so I must be right. But the truth is in the heart of the Mahajans. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. That's where the truth is. Even more so than in the scriptures. It's within the heart of the Mahajans. So we can't understand the scripture unless the Mahajan explains it. There's a nice story about that. Prabhupada said, there's 12 Mahajans, right? And one devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, you're so amazing. I think you're the 13th Mahajan. Prabhupada said, yes, and you become the 14th. So we have to follow and we have to understand and hear. And then we will also understand ourselves when we read it also. In the future, when we become qualified, then we'll understand, oh, this, it can mean this, but in a Krishna conscious way. So many scholars, they read the scriptures, they're Sanskrit scholars. They don't even understand that Krishna is God. So we have to understand through the eyes of somebody who has devotion to Krishna, and then we'll understand it in the correct way. And it can mean different things. Like there was different opinions of the acharyas listed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One devotee says this, one acharya says this, one acharya says that. And Prabhupada doesn't say this one's right. He just says this acharya has this opinion, this acharya has that opinion. May even be differences of opinion and understanding. Probably made it more confusing. Any last comment or question? Or maybe not? Oh yeah, Prayojan Prabhu.
We've got an amazing preaching mission here. It's like yourself, you're part of that preaching mission. You help the schools under the guise of Hinduism. And they're all coming here. They're hearing the kirtan. They're hearing Krishna's name and all the deities' names. You know, what it is, it's so versatile in its outreach. But at the same time, they say, oh, we shouldn't do it under the guise of Hinduism. But we must. Anything to get them to hear Krishna consciousness, any of the aspects of Krishna, the cows, all this aspect of looking after the cows in a natural land. It's all there, what you were speaking about, actually.
Yeah.
So I can only say, I was told around, it can be 10 to 15,000 children and teachers come and visit here every day. It's an enormous mission. But using the system to spread Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. This IES is one of my favorite things about Bhaktivedanta Manas, seeing these schools coming. It's incredible. And we have to use it in Krishna service, right? Prabhupada said devotees can go out in non-devotional clothing to distribute books. People can relate to them easily if it's efficacious for the preaching. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he made a huge agricultural fair in India. I think it was Calcutta, but I'm not sure. It was an agricultural fair showing like tractors and different tools for agriculture. And they had a small stall of Krishna consciousness in the corner. And that was he wanted to bring all of these people in, thousands and thousands of people, so that they would come in contact with Krishna. That's what the Vedas are all about. The Vedas are mainly about different rituals, getting married, astrology, food, and then you have the essence, like in Mahabharata, right? The essence is the Bhagavad Gita. Not everybody chopping each other's heads off. It's this transcendental knowledge that's given by Krishna. So even the scriptures are like that. preaching strategies. Sometimes devotees criticize bridge preaching. Even the Vedas are bridge preaching. So as long as there is actually a bridge and you can get over the bridge, you don't fall into the Thames halfway through or go back, then if we're trying to give Krishna consciousness to others, then it's all auspicious. Thank you for your attention. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.